Okay, welcome to the American Outdoor News Podcast. We are here with Elise Fernstrom from Hunt of a Lifetime. Elise, thanks for taking the time to speak to us today.
Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Now, you belong to an amazing organization. It's really a selfless 501c3. Can you tell us a little bit about how, first tell us a little bit about the organization itself.
Okay, so the organization, we start actually with a story, and this always starts with a story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So this organization was born due to the president's stepson. His name's Matthew, and Matthew had a horrible cancer, and he was an outdoors kid. So he went to one of the other Wishbound foundations, and they do beautiful work, so don't think that I'm saying terrible things, but they got a little bit of pressure from the outside, and we know as outdoors people that sometimes it's a little bit strained, and maybe it doesn't fit for everybody, but that was part of Matthew's heritage, and his wish was he wanted to go moose hunting with his dad. That was his wish. And this other organization said, I'm sorry, but we don't involve ourselves in what has been deemed blood sport. So they said, listen, we'll work with you. Anything else besides a blood sport, and we'll certainly support you. And Matthew was like, I'm sorry, but that's really what I want to do. So outdoors people, as we all know, are wonderful, and they're very giving and charitable. So a bunch got together, and they started making phone calls, trying to get this moose hunt to happen. And they were falling against lots of brick walls. I mean, nominally, it can be expensive. So it wasn't happening. And then the bug got put in the right ears, and a big community came together and made that happen. So Matthew was able to harvest his moose with his dad.
Wow.
He unfortunately did pass away, but he was able to fulfill his dream. And actually, that's our trips for the kids. We actually call them dreams because of that. So that was in 1998, and in 1999, this organization actually started, and it honors Matthew's dream. So we are a nonprofit, like you said. We aren't like big box entertainment type. So we're more of a land and a water type for these outdoors kids that actually like to do things that are maybe not part of Disney World, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's not for everybody, but for our kids, it's to be out in the outdoors and to have a fishing or a hunting experience. So our kids that we serve are 21 years and younger, and they are kids that have life-threatening illnesses. A lot of these life-threatening illnesses actually come with significant disabilities. So again, you know, working with these kids, we have a very diverse group of volunteers with their organization that put these great trips together. And these are really ill kids. So they... Mm-hmm. As far as the process of if you know somebody or if somebody is kind of wondering about it, there is an application process that can be found actually at our website. And our organization operates out of Nationals, out of Harbor Creek, PA. But they can find our information at running all the letters together, huntofalifetime.org. And towards the end, I think I'll probably just, as a good thing, go over all the contact information if people are interested. And, you know, they take donations and whatnot from that area also. So, again, these kids are 21 years and younger. They have to have a life-threatening illness, usually with a disability. And the application process is also filled out by their physician. So their physician has to deem that their illness does have a life-threatening component. Now, we serve kids that can be from spina bifida, cancers, Parkinsonian issues. Some of them are clinically blind from an illness, and it can be even, you know, diabetes. A lot of people don't consider that to be something that is life-threatening. It certainly is.
So there is a criteria, and there are checks and balances because there are less scrupulous people that would try and get a free hunt.
Right, exactly. And it's really not, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up, Chris. So there is a check and balance process, but it's not even just to weed that side out, because that side exists in every single venue. Let's be honest, that's just being truthful. But it's also to perhaps identify those. And also we need to do the screening so that we know what resources that our team needs to bring in.
Yeah.
So these children, they will, on that application, never mind the medical information and all of the information the parents fill out as far as the geographics and whatnot, they also identify, the kids identify, and that's the key right there, is the kids are the ones that identify what their dream is. Mm-hmm. And it can be a hunting dream or it can be a fishing dream. So we don't just do hunting. And they will pick their top three picks of their most fabulous species that they've ever dreamed about going after. And our president, Tina, she's involved pretty heavily in this whole process. She will try to go and get that number one pick. And that's really what we say to the parents and the kids when you're filling out an application. Make sure that number one is your absolute positive, most fabulous thing you can envision. And we're going to try to get number one settled. And if not, we'll go down the list. And these dreams, again, some of these kids, their weapons could be a rod. It could be a rifle. It could be a bow, a compound, or a crossbow. And the key to this is, these are really ill kids. These families have been taxed, not just physically, emotionally. I mean, the resources are tapped out. Critical illness is not a fun situation.
No.
So these trips and dreams that we put together, they are literally paid from start to finish. Not just for the child, but also for that guardian. And the guardian doesn't have to be a parent. It has to be somebody that's 25 years and older. So It could be a cousin that is maybe an outdoors person they have a really tight relationship with. And when I say start to finish, we're really not kidding. We mean not just the outfitter, not just the tag, not just the weapon. We're talking taxidermy to travel, all the way through meat processing. And when I say the meat processing, we have great volunteer meat processors that'll do a beautiful job safely. Again, so this protein product isn't going to make their family ill, and it's wrapped nicely and shipped free of charge to that child's house.
Wow.
So that's the other part that I really, really like, is a lot of illnesses kind of strip self-esteem.
Yeah.
And a lot of these kids are wanting to, let's be serious, they want to give back to their family that is, you know, being so supportive of them. So guess what? They went to Nature's Grocery Store and they gave their family something to eat. Right?
Sure.
It's good stuff.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, you're fine.
Is there a nurse or a physician or something along those lines that you require to go along on these hunts?
No, we do not. There have been trips or dreams that part of the volunteer network in that area, they did volunteer services. So Whereas within our personal group, we do have, not everybody's a medical professional, but we do have medical professionals that do carry that skill set. It is not a requirement. Mm-hmm. Honestly, these families are pretty well versed in care. I mean, obviously not as a professional medical person, but they're understanding the medications and what is necessary in the treatments and identifying when things go awry.
Yeah.
So I won't say that it's mandatory. It certainly isn't. But also we do have some volunteers that actually, you know, will kick in that are either paramedics, nurses, or whatnot. It has happened in the past.
Now, how has COVID affected these kids going on the trips, people chaperoning? I know a lot of outfitters have shut down for the season or canceled hunts. How has that affected you?
Just like everybody, it's really affected on such a large level. And like I mentioned to you before, occupationally, I'm a nurse. So I see many different areas and kind of like pieces of this whole puzzle of the COVID thing. And a lot of these kids have severe immunocompromise, which is not a situation that we want to put them in as far as putting them, you know, in danger for contracting something that can maybe wipe out the time, a little piece of time that they were going to have. So we certainly don't want to do harm. So yeah, COVID has kind of like squashed a few things and put things on hold a little bit. But we are going to get back into it and get rolling. A lot of it depends on what state we're talking about. Where is the hunt occurring?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with that particular governor? And what is going on with that child in particular? Because they don't always hunt in their home state. They will travel. But again, there's certain travel bans, so we have to be mindful of that. And it has affected a little bit of when we get out into the community and we meet people as far as spreading our word, because that's very important also.
Yeah.
And then also looking for some donations and some funding also.
All right. So let's talk about that. How do you get your funding and sponsorships for these trips? I know these manufacturers and organizations, they get hit by everybody saying, sponsor me, contribute to me. There's a million organizations out there, and I don't have to tell you. How difficult is it for you to get funding for something like this? For me, you know, I would say it would be a hell of a lot easier than some other organizations. But is that true?
It is true, and it isn't true all at the same time. Mm-hmm. I sound like I'm like two conflicting sides.
No, not at all.
we have a great base of people that know about us, and then we have a great base that we need to get to. So we don't just go to events. You know, we do go to sportsmen's shows, fishers shows, different types of outdoor organizations that are similar and like-minded. But then again, we do a lot of grassroots research and kind of connecting with people such as that, a lot of word of mouth. And we do have quite the tribe, if you will, of people that assist us with that. Yeah. But let's get to back to the big companies and things like that. A lot of them are incredibly generous, and we are very blessed. Definitely, because this kind of group of kids, this pulls at your heartstrings. So if somebody can walk away from that, I'm not quite sure where the moral compass is pointed. It's certainly not due north, mm-hmm. right?
Even if it's a little bit, it's something.
Exactly. So we are very, very blessed that we do have some big names that actually stand behind us. And you know what? Some of these guys and girls, right from start to finish, they're like, this is a complete donation. You know, you do what you need with this. And then some of them give us percentages off or whatnot. And every little bit adds up and helps. So I don't know if you're going to like get mad at me for mentioning some names, but I love these people. So I think that they're terrific. And if they're doing beautiful, good work, I always say, give them a pat on the back, because guess what? They're standing up and they're helping these kids. And these items, these kids keep. They're not just renting their weapons. They're taking that home. That's theirs.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff too. So, I mean, seriously, Savage Firearms, amazing people, terrific firearms. They're a really big supporter of us. Barnett Crossbows, because some of these kids, again, some of them can't pull back a compound bow, but they're a bow hunter.
Yeah.
Wildlife Research Centers, they do a lot with us. Friends of the NRA, Noiser Bullets, Tacticam, actually, we just kind of connected with them as far as allowing those kids to do some self-filming, which is important.
Good people there.
Yes, it's a great group of people. And again, it's, you know, outdoors people, we all know each other, we connect beautifully, and it's pretty easy sell. You'd be really surprised once we tell people that, yes, we are a nonprofit, and we're very proud to be able to say that an average of 96% of donations go directly to the kids.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of administrative costs.
We
have a little bit of costs. Everybody's got to have it, because guess what? The IRS tells you that this is what you need for a platform to operate with that nonprofit status.
Yeah, so you were saying earlier that 96% of all funds generated goes towards the kids.
It's a huge average, right? I mean, it fluctuates here and there, but it's pretty big. And again,
you have expenses as an organization that are going up, but you have... I'm not even going to mention names. By law, they only give 3%, 4%, 5%. Come on. What are they doing with all that money?
Oh, wouldn't we like to know that?
I know what they're doing.
Well, like I said, again, you know, we do have to have some of that within, you know, the federal guidelines. And they're more like stipends. I really don't want to call it anything close to a salary, because honestly, you could not survive on the money.
Not in the Northeast, anyway.
No, there's no way that you could. So again, we have to do that just because that's a legal prerequisite. Mm-hmm. So we have to follow the legal side of it. But getting back to our staff. So we have a board of directors. Mm-hmm. They're not paid. We have an advisory board. And then again, you were asking me, so like, where is this group? Well, this group has got a national umbrella. So every single state actually has what we call the main lead person in that state, which is deemed an ambassador. Okay. So the ambassadors are national and, believe it or not, international. We do have Canadian ambassadors, and we do have a New Zealand ambassador. Oh, wow. Last time I checked. Yes. So the ambassador's role is we are kind of like the face of whatever state we're representing, the main go-to person in that state. So we, you know, have resources, we connect with the other outdoor people, but then we also do a lot of recruitment, not just of committee members, because we do have assistive volunteers that are called committee members. And those people are the ones that are grassroots with us. They're going to events, they're interacting with the people in our crowd. They're also interacting people outside of these events. So perhaps they're going out and spreading the word somewhere else, you know, just to people on the street. Tell them about Hunt of a Lifetime. Tell them that we exist. Mm-hmm. And then generally, again, the ambassador is more of a leadership role. We also, with me in the medical field, I try to activate all of my medical resources. So I'll go and I'll talk to social workers in the hospitals. Not just in Connecticut, because that's where I live, but I'm also Massachusetts ambassador. So I'll go into there and make those contacts, because at the end of the day, our primary cause, why we're here, is to identify kids for the dreams.
Yep.
Yeah, fundraising is great, but guess what? If you don't have the kids to fill the dreams, what's your mission? So
I personally had flown down to Texas for a similar organization to guide a hunt. And it was not a non-for-profit. This woman actually paid for everything out of her pocket. And it was probably one of the most gratifying hunts that I've been on. And I didn't shoot anything. It was
right
purpose. I was there to help the kids. And there's a lot that you get back for donating your time.
Oh, absolutely. It's, again, that's heart pay is what I call it. Heck with the rest of stuff. You can make money doing anything. This is heart pay. You don't get heart pay everywhere. So getting back to the kids, and because it's all about the kids anyway.
Yep.
So some people always ask me the question, so Elise, what exactly do you do when you're approached by somebody that is maybe not for outdoor activities, or if you want to call them and deem them blood sports? And this is, in my nicest nurse voice, this is what I usually would say to them. Listen, we don't know the time they have here. This is their dream, not ours. We're going to meet them where they are, not where we are in our heart. This is their heart. And there you are. That's how you deal with that. You put it back where it belongs. It's not about us, it's about them. And again, not every kid, I mean, Disney's great, but not every kid is a Disney kid. And again, you know, I've actually had non-outdoors people say, wow, I didn't think of it that way. And I'm like, well, this could be the last request. Why wouldn't we honor that? I mean, that would be absolute crazy. It's their moment to have their moment in the sun. Give them some dignity, give them some self-worth. We're building that inside. That's their armor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're going to take a commercial break here.
Okay.
Because our sponsors need a quick look.
That's okay.
And we'll be back in a moment.
Sounds good.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do, from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstance, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the hardest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Okay, we're back, and we have a lot of ground that we have covered so far about this fantastic organization. Hunt of a Lifetime is exactly what it is, and we'll get right back into, you know, fundraising. I know right now you have a raffle going on that is was not affected by COVID. Tell us a little bit about this raffle.
Okay, again, it's all about creativity, right? Especially when things like this happen.
Oh, yeah. But actually,
these raffles have been going on before, way before COVID. So we actually have them twice a year. This one in particular, it's a 60-plus day raffle. So for a $30 donation, people are given actually two control numbers, and they line up with the Pennsylvania lottery system. So we'll watch the numbers for you. You don't have to unless you want to, but... So all the way through August, through the end of September, we actually have every day of prizes given away. Now, these prizes for your $30 donation, because we never say it's a purchase, because again, we are nonprofit, so they're donating towards our cause. So there's nominal prizes, and then there's also physical prizes. So a nominal prize will start at the 500 range and actually goes up to $5,000. So if your number's picked on a certain day, I just like the expression that just happened. Okay. And then for craziness for a $30 donation when you think about it. And guess what? You have those two number choices, chances, if you will, all the way through August and September for this to happen.
Wow.
Kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
No, it's really amazing.
Yeah. So beyond that, the nominal prizes, they also have a plethora, that's the best word for it, of firearms that actually are given as prizes. And I'm a really, I hate to say it, but I'm a real big Benelli fan. I'm a little bit of a shotgun snob, that's for sure.
I'm a Benelli fan.
So I guess it's not a bad thing, but there are Benelli shotguns on here. There are Ruger bolt action rifles, Browning rifles. There's Henry Golden Boys. I think there's pistols. Let me just refresh myself for a second. I'm looking at my list. There's muzzle loaders. Yes, there's a Ruger LCP semi-auto.
Oh, that's nice.
380 ACP. Yeah, so I mean, numerous chances, and again, this is like wonderful stuff. So these tickets are actually still available. If people are interested, they could get in contact with either the ambassador in their state, okay, which they can find on social media, or they could just go directly to the Hunt of a Lifetime's website. So if you're looking on social media, let's just go with Facebook. We'll throw that one down. If you type in Hunt of a Lifetime and then whatever your state is afterwards, we all have pages. You can find us that way.
Okay.
Or you could go to the Hunt of a Lifetime Foundation's homepage, like I said in the beginning, which is just huntofalifetime.org. Our email is info@huntofalifetime.org. Or you can contact us at 866-345-4455. Again, if you were interested in those tickets, there is still time. But again, you know, they are going to stop selling them, you know, the day prior or until they're gone. And just so you know, nationwide, there's only 5,000 of these things.
Wow. So you got a pretty good chance.
You've got a huge chance of making this happen. Exactly. So the other thing is donations. If people are interested in maybe kind of pushing our cause and giving us some help, we don't just take regular nominal donations, but we certainly do. But if somebody knows about the CFC campaigns, which is actually the combined federal campaign, is a workplace giving program by the federal government, we do, because we have that 501 C3 status, we do have a CFC number. So people, if they want to have a little percentage taken out of their paycheck, they can. And our CFC number is 98524. And that can be found on our website also.
Okay.
But also PayPal, we accept that. And then donations aren't just that. I mean, donations could be of land use.
Sure.
A lot of people don't think about that one. Or let's just say you don't have all that kind of money, but you might have some frequent flyer miles. Guess who would love them? Us, because some of our kids fly. So you can be creative. You could use, or if you wanted to donate maybe services, or we even have this beautiful, I have this beautiful older woman that came up and she donated this beautiful basket. She allowed me to raffle it off and the profits go directly back to the kids.
Wow.
A basket full of different goodies. So it can be maple syrup actually was what it was about. It was all about New England. So again, creativity, and then also resources for outfitters and whatnot. They can also work through that too. So this stuff takes a village, and the village reaches pretty far and wide. I want to throw this one at you because I think it's amazing. So to date, we've been in operation for 21 years. So my last count, and I might be off, it might be a little bit greater than this, is we've sent 1,070 kids on their dreams.
Wow. That's a lot of kids in a short period of time.
Yes, it is. A lot of work. It's good work. It's very good work.
How would somebody get involved with Hunt of a Lifetime if they wanted to get involved with the organization, donate their time, guide kids in any capacity? I know you have a lot of jobs that can be filled through donors.
Absolutely. So, again, I'm going to divert back to our organization's website. If you go and you click along the browser bar up top, you'll see forms. Everybody needs to fill out a form. It's standard procedure. It's not that we're thinking ill of people, but with working with kids, we have to make sure they're protected. So yep. There are references that are required because, again, we want to make sure everybody's safe. Okay. So that would be on file. So you'll find all those forms right on the huntofalifetime.org website, and they're downloadable. Along even with the youth form for a hunt or anybody that wants to donate services. Or like I said, you know, either speak to nationals or contact your state's ambassador and we'll help you along in the process.
Great. Great. Is there anything that we didn't cover?
We wish we could heal every single one of them. That's what, if anybody's got the magic wand out there, the medical magic wand that they'd like to donate, I would love to have that.
Is there any upcoming events that you're involved with that people should know about?
Okay, so again, with the COVID, a lot of the states are kind of sitting on the fence on what they're wanting to do, and we're still doing a wait and see. I know that on my personal calendar that I am meeting and joining, hopefully, if my state governor allows me to, one of our board of directors members, Dan Wilhite, down at the big New Jersey Billfish Tournament, which is in August. Huge event. It's a whole week event. So we're hoping and praying that that can go forward. But again, you know, there's all these, we have to kind of do a wait and see with this. So we're kind of concentrate on social media, still getting out there and talking to people, but doing it safely, because at the end of the day, everybody has to be safe.
Yeah, I have a governor like that too. I'm in New York.
So hopefully by the time that Santa comes and goes, maybe we can get back to like all those big outdoor shows that we have been working with. But the other thing is, like I said to you before, Chris, if people are wondering what is happening in their area, you can either go to the Hunt of a Lifetime page and click on events, because we do have a tab there, or go to, again, a social media. I know a lot of the other ambassadors, not just myself, we keep a list of events. So if you're wanting to follow us in particular, go ahead on our, for me, it would be Hunt of a Lifetime Connecticut, Massachusetts, and look and see what we have in the pipeline, what will be happening and what is tentative. I mean, everything's tentative at this point.
Okay. Well, great. I appreciate your time. Thank you for sitting down with me today and speaking to us about this amazing organization. Your time and your work with the organization is so much appreciated.
No, we really appreciate you helping for us to get the word out. And again, if you happen to know somebody, you know, tell them about it. If they happen to know of maybe a kid that might be prospective, send them our way. Let's make that dream happen. Let's put a smile on their face. So at least we can do it.
Okay. Thanks again. And we'll speak to you soon.